Welcome back to High School Counseling Conversations. This is episode 34. As we're gearing up to open doors to the CLIC Collaborative again next week, there are a few fun things on the horizon here that I want you to know about. I want you to head over and join our pop-up Facebook group called Kickstart Your Year as a High School Counselor. Yes, you probably listened to the three-episode podcast with a similar name, but now we're getting to come together as a little community to chat, connect, and share for about 2 weeks as we head into back-to-school season. There'll be prizes, live teaching, and fun that I don't want you to miss. Go to counselorclick.com/popup, P-O-P-U-P, to join the group and be sure to answer the quick membership questions so that I can let you in right away. Another announcement that I don't want you to miss. I'm offering a few free live workshops, and y'all, let me tell you, these are some of my favorite things that I've done in the past year. This is the same workshop I did last back-to-school season, but it was so fun, we're doing it again. It's called 3 Back-to-School Strategies for High School Counselors, and it'll help you hit the ground running this year, whether you're in year 1 or you're in year 31. Go pick the time that works best for you and get ready to show up to the live fun. counselorclick.com/workshop. Just for showing up live, you'll get a free, editable high school counseling curriculum map. This is not available anywhere else. It's not in my TPT store. It's just the extra special incentive you get for showing up live, along with a PD certificate that you can turn in for an hour of PD credit to your people. Go to counselorclick.com/workshop to sign up. I'll be there live on video. You show up live in the chat and not on camera. Don't worry. I cannot wait to see you there. This week, I'm sitting down with Ty Lee, who's a high school counselor at a private Catholic high school in the Midwest. Funny enough, just like Liz in last week's episode, Ty Lee is now working at the high school that she attended as a high schooler. Isn't that a coincidence? I didn't know that when I started talking to either of them, I promise. Hear about why Ty Lee decided to work at the school she did and what she loves about the culture there. As a third-year counselor, Ty Lee has been finding her way and realizing what she's really passionate about in this job, which has actually been a lot of mental health initiatives and social-emotional wellness for her students. Need some inspiration as you start a new year? I'm excited for you to hear from another member of the CLIC Collaborative this week as Ty Lee tells you all about her private school counseling experience so far. Let's jump in. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. We are going to go ahead and get started, and I'm going to welcome Ty Lee. Thanks for being here.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here. When you messaged me, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds so fun. So I'm super excited to be here.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have never, ever been on a podcast.
There's a first time for everything.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, let's start out. Tell us about yourself, and what your journey to becoming and being a school counselor has been like.
I'm a high school counselor and I work at the high school that I went to high school. So that is fun. So I'll get into that, but my journey to becoming that, I went into undergrad knowing that I really liked the people that helped me through difficult times and just high school and school in general. I wasn't sure if I wanted to teach or not. I wasn't sure like really what route I wanted to go. But I just knew that I wanted to be the person or be a person like the people that helped me in all different ways, whether they were coaches, teachers, counselors, D, all the above. So I got my undergrad in sociology and educational psychology. And when I came out of school, I started teaching kindergarten, which was super fun. I loved it a lot. I did that for a few years before starting grad school. I did some research in social work and, school psychology and counseling, and ended up just really gravitating towards the counseling side of things because, well, the programs that I found in my area, so I'm in Illinois and I found one downtown Chicago at DePaul. I just really liked like the holistic teaching that they did. And it felt like, you know, I was going to be prepared to help kids in a lot of different ways, whether it was social, emotional, or college, or career, or academic, or just so many different ways. So that's kind of what got me to grad school and becoming a counselor. And then I did my internship at the high school that I went to, which is in just a suburban area in the northwest suburbs of Illinois. It's a Catholic school, so private school. I did my internship there, and actually the counselor that I had as a student retired at the end of that year, and I was hired as a counselor. So that was 3 years ago now. So I've been there for 3 years, and it's been a roller coaster, but it's been super awesome and super comforting to be in the place that kind of produced who I am and built, you know, the values that I live my life on.
That is such a neat story. Thank you for sharing that. How did you go from being a kindergarten teacher then to high school counselor? Because I can see you being a kindergarten teacher. Like I can see you being a high school counselor too, but those, I mean, you went from one end to the other.
It is quite a jump. I truly loved being a kindergarten teacher. It was so fun. And, you know, when I was thinking about where I wanted to apply for like my internship for counseling, I really did think about elementary. And I was like, that would be, you know, very similar to what I've been doing, obviously in a little bit of a different way, but just in our suburban area here in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, we have really, really great schools. They just really aren't staffed with school counselors. A lot of them have social workers and school psychologists and teams of those support staff. But they, like, you know, if you looked on job boards or if you kind of reached out, like I did a lot of research. I had like this crazy spreadsheet. I was like really nuts when trying to find an internship. But I would like reach out to talk to their AP or principal or whoever would really talk to me. And they would be like, you know what, we don't have anyone that, because in your internship, you need someone that has your license to like, right, you know, obviously be the one teaching you and supporting you and scaffolding with you. So that's just what I learned about my area. Now I'm not too far from Chicago, so I could have been commuting to like CPS, Chicago Public Schools, and they have a lot of school counselors, but the commute was just going to be a lot because I lived in the suburbs. And, you know, in the end, getting a job in CPS would be fantastic too, but you have to live in this, in like a Chicago zip code, which I don't have. And so I just didn't know if I was going to be setting myself up for just not failure, but just like not getting.
Yeah. Just like having to move and uproot what you already knew. And yeah.
And I love Chicago, but I also like the suburbs. This is where I grew up and what I know. So maybe I'm just a little bit of a homebody in a way, but yeah. So then, and I had such a good tie with my high school. So I just started looking at high schools here in this area, obviously my home high school as well. And it just so worked out that they were able to take me on, and obviously it was a really great experience, but yeah, it was quite the jump. and I still don't like fully know why I was like, oh, you know, if I can't do like little elementary, why high school is the next best thing. But sometimes I think that kindergartners and high schoolers feel and act sort of the same. If you look at like the bigger picture of things, obviously they produce those feelings in different ways. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, well, this is just like a kindergarten classroom right now. Like this is chaos.
It's funny how they can resort back to being a 5-year-old.
They're all kids.
But you know, right? Yeah, they have similar needs. They need structure and they need to be loved and cared for. And you know, if you can do it for one age, you can do it for any age. But it's just kind of like, where do you find your groove? And you know, where do you love day to day? And it sounds like you're enjoying your high school setting.
Yeah, it's really great. And I also like, I coach basketball. So it helps that is a high school level thing that I do too. So I do it all in the same place. And I had been coaching even while I was teaching kindergarten. So it just, it makes your
world all like come together better. Yes. Like you're already spending time at the school. So like, why not coach versus going to like two different campuses and knowing all these different people. Yeah. Well, tell me about what your school is like. You said it's a private Catholic school. Like how many students, what does your caseload look like? That kind of stuff.
I mean, like I said before, and you repeated, it is a private Catholic school. It has roughly, I would say 1,050 students at this point. You know, my caseload is kind of changing right now. I'm actually transitioning into the department chair role this year.
Look at you go.
So with that, we try to have my, like the department chair's caseload just slightly smaller. So my caseload will be around 210 students, but for the last 3 years, it was closer to like 250. So I will be losing quite a few students, which will be interesting. I don't know what I will do with some of that freer time.
Oh, I'm sure someone will put something on your plate to give you something to do.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be other things. But yeah, so I would say on average, our counselors have, you know, between 230 and 250. I'll have slightly lower this coming year just because of my new role. But yeah, that's kind of how we do it. And then like, I don't have just one grade. We have all four grades and it's just split mostly by alphabet. Sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. Or if like you connect with a family and then they have siblings and, you know, however it splits up, they get with another counselor. A lot of times they'll be moved to you and that sort of thing. So
yeah. I feel like that could be like a private school thing. I feel like in public school, it's like you get who you get.
Yeah, we do have, I guess I'll call it like a luxury of kind of doing that. I mean, in some cases, a family's like, oh, we don't mind, you know, like they'll be like, oh yeah. So our daughter Zoe had this person, but you know, our son Brian can have this person. It doesn't, you know, they don't mind as much. Some families do, which is okay. They make the connection and they're, you know, obviously dealing with this person for 4 years, keeping it comfortable and everyone happy and things like that.
How do you feel like you went into year three, like this year, were you like, okay, I've like got my groove. I kind of know what to expect. Or, I mean, when does it ever feel like you kind of know what's going on or that you've got like some ground under your feet?
Yeah. I mean, what's funny is like in my first full year of counseling, in the March of that year, everything shut down. And so everything I knew of counseling was like, oh, nope, that's not it anymore. It's completely flipped upside down. We have to do things, you know, so different. So I think even like since then, I've always tried to like not get comfortable, if that's the right way to say it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always trying to do new things or, you know, just keep feeling like, we always called it in grad school, like our toolbox with like different sorts of things, because you never know what's going to happen. And I mean, I think we can all agree in the last 3 years or 2.5 years, however we want to say it, like we really don't know what's going to happen ever. So yeah, I think just like going into this year, obviously I was very optimistic about us being open full time, but I was also like on the ready to go fully remote or, you know, go hybrid.
I love what you said about just constantly reinventing. I mean, I feel like even without COVID, like counselors are doing that all the time and no 2 days are the same, which I love. You know, that's like something I love about being a counselor versus, you could speak to this about being a teacher and kind of doing the same thing and having a routine. Like it's kind of fun that you get to be in the middle of the chaos because our students' lives are chaos, you know, like they are being thrown curveballs. So we just like get to be in it with them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I totally agree. I think like, I mean, even being a kindergarten teacher, the things, you know, your daily routines were there. And so being a counselor, it's like, it's keeping you, you're just always on your toes. No day is the same. Even when you have a schedule, like you schedule out your day to meet with these certain students, like, and you can expect that. But even that, like, they maybe don't show up and then someone else stops by or something happens and then you have to cancel those appointments, or, you know, they bring a friend and then it's a whole other situation.
I'm like, why are you here? Moral support or like what's going on?
Like, do you need support? We have at our school, we have something called the Wellness Center. It used to be called the Drop-In Center. And this year we shifted gears to the Wellness Center just so we were changing with the times, because, you know, with COVID and everything, you know, I don't know about other schools, but we saw such an uptick in mental health needs, which I think everyone across the board has seen from just conversations I've had. And, you know, even like the education around counseling that we are provided by like ASCA and different things. It's all about mental health at this point. But yeah, we have the Wellness Center, and like people, like a friend would bring their classmate in because they were crying or something. And I'm like, oh, like I so appreciate you like supporting your friend and bringing them here. And are you just supporting, or like, are you needing some assistance too? And I mean, I swear like 8 times out of 10, they also needed something.
So whereas maybe before they were there bringing someone for support, and now it's like, no, we're actually both needing to be here today.
Right. I just needed like a vehicle to get here sort of situation.
Well, that is so interesting. Tell me, or remind me, were you in charge of that wellness center? I feel like you asked in our group for ideas, or maybe you were the one leading that?
The Drop-In Center was originally created before I was even working there. Last year, with the hybrid model and just wanting to keep, you know, our staff and our kids safe, we had to kind of close the drop-in for its purpose, which was like kids could literally go there throughout the day whenever they needed. There's like couches, there's fidgets, there's coloring, like anything and everything. And they could go there, they could take a minute, they could take a breather, and then they could go back to class when they were ready. The year actually before, or the year of COVID, when COVID initially hit in March, that year, you know, leading up to that March, we did see some students taking advantage of the space.
Everyone's question.
Right. Right. Like they're, you know, they're in there, and it's not to say that they don't need the support. It's just that, you know, maybe they would spend a little too much time in there, or we would always see them in there during math class or science, you know, whatever subject it is that, so a little bit of avoidance and those types of things, which obviously intervention is necessary in those moments. So we were seeing some issues with the old model, or some things that we just didn't love. And we were also like missing kids that needed more support than just sitting there with their feelings. Mm-hmm. So like kids would be sitting in there and not get checked in on, you know, maybe they were seen in there, but the idea of it was that they could just take their time and then go back to class. And so this year, seeing that uptick in mental health needs, we collaborated, like me and the other counselors in our school psych and our AP of student services, and really sat down and said, what sort of system do we need in place to make this a usable space again that is benefiting all students, and also just making sure like everyone, there's a touch point for everyone, if that makes sense. Our system kind of changed, and that was like with the new, I guess, rebrand of the Wellness Center. So like the students now, instead of just like completely dropping in unannounced, which they kind of do, they actually have to drop in with either their assigned counselor or the school psych, or just really any counselor. Like my office is like right next to it, so a lot of times they just kind of end up in my doorway, like in tears. And I'm like, okay, we need the Wellness Center. Okay, great. But then they just like share, they don't have to fully share what's going on. Sometimes they do, but they just, the touch point is so that we can kind of triage, okay, is this something that they can just like hang out in there for like 15 minutes, kind of catch their bearings and be able to be regulated enough to get back to class and be successful in class and learn all of the things that they're trying to learn as a high schooler? Or do they need, you know, a little bit more time than 15 minutes do we need to have a conversation and then they can sit in there, or, you know, or vice versa. Maybe they need to sit in there and regulate a little bit because they're completely dysregulated and then have a conversation about what's going on. So it's serving the purpose of a place where kids can drop in, quote unquote, but also I would say like took our counseling program to a more sophisticated place of providing care, kind of that triage care that they need, and making sure that all kids and all students are getting the different support that they need.
Yes. I love how you called it a rebrand too. Like you gave yourselves the opportunity to say, pause, the culture has changed. Our students have changed. What do we need to do? Because it's okay to say things are changing. Mm-hmm. They're not working the same as they used to work. Like we're doing this for students. So like, how do we need to better serve them? And you're still giving them, I love that you're still giving them the space to kind of make their own decision and see like, can I regulate myself on my own? Because like you want them to have those skills, or like you're also having eyes on them because you are the older one, the professional one who knows the difference in like one person's reaction when they walk in the door. And then, like you said, you're able to triage and say, okay, I need to follow up with that person. Or I love your like train of thought as you like rebranded it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I just feel like we all kind of looked at each other like, okay, we need a better system.
Yeah, like we've got to do something.
What was like created was great in the moment that it was created. And, you know, like when it first was created, I think it was like maybe 2 years before I started there, the amount of students needing a drop-in space or identifying as needing a drop-in space was much, much smaller than what it is now. And so that's why we were like, we really need to have a better tracking system so that like, if this student has come in 3 or 4 times and has talked to the school psych and has talked to their counselor, but now their counselor's on lunch, so now they're talking to me, we can kind of say like, okay, maybe school right now is not the best, like they're needing a little bit more of an intense intervention. And that doesn't mean that they need to go like, you know, to an inpatient program, but it also just doesn't mean, it means that like their body and their mind is not ready for biology class right now. It needs time to process whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're coping with. And so that might involve a longer conversation with their counselor, or maybe even, you know, depending on the topic or subject, their parents.
It really, that gives them a safe space to like show up and be seen and to say like, I don't even really know what I need, but like, can somebody help me?
Yeah. I mean, I could like the number of kids that just come in and they like, you can just see it on their face. And they're like, honestly, you know, that classic question of like, oh, what's wrong? And it's like, I have no idea what's wrong.
Anything, everything. I don't know.
You point to something.
Right. And like, that's what's wrong. So
I think just like having that space to sit and really like ponder what is going on while they're like, because if they're sitting in, I don't know, algebra, they can't be really focusing on like what is making them so dysregulated. So like, let's get them in a very safe space that they can, you know, color, or they can listen to music, or they can just sit there, or they can have the weighted blanket on them. And then they can maybe come to a conclusion of what is truly at the root of what's bothering them, or maybe not. And maybe that takes like a longer conversation with their counselor or a short one. But yeah, that was kind of all the base behind rebranding. And, you know, we've seen a lot of success with it, or, you know, enjoy the new process with it. I think it just helps students even more.
When you like look at the year as a whole, how do you see yourself? Like, where have you grown in the past year? And then looking forward, what dreams do you have for your program or for yourself coming up as you move into a new role?
I think I've grown tremendously in the last year. I think what we were just talking about with the Wellness Center and just wellness and prevention in general at our school, it's something that I have found a knack for and just like a passion for. And so I get to be very involved in like you know, our wellness newsletters, and we do like homerooms that are themed on like kindness and those types of things. And then, you know, your Red Ribbon Week and Suicide Awareness Month and all that. So I sort of found my passion in doing all things wellness and prevention. And also just kind of like, I don't know if someone had the baton before me. I just kind of like found a baton and decided to just run. And I think like, it's been really great. Like, and I've gotten great feedback from like our principal and president and AP and support and things like that. It's just been like a very intense year full of growth, I think. And as I'm like going into the department chair role, I just really want to like continue doing that and continue this like focus on wellness, intervention, and prevention. And so that we're, you know, that tier 1, 2, and 3 of intervention. So like reaching all students, then finding those ones that need a little extra, and then finding those, you know, ones that need a little bit more significant support is just sort of where I'm going with all of this. I just want to continue it and create like an entire wellness program for not only our students, but in the future, our staff as well. As educators, we can all agree that these last few years were very difficult for our students whose brains and emotions are still developing, but it was very difficult for us as full-grown adults trying to function in a world like this. So that, you know, my main goal is to just like continue like growing a wellness and prevention program school-wide.
Well, it is very much needed. And you mentioned like your administrators and teachers and stuff being on board with what you're doing. And as we wrap up here, I just kind of want to get your perspective on you being a member in the Click Collaborative. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your admin paid for it. So like when I hear that they support you, like they were on board for you doing this. How did that conversation go? Like, was it hard to convince them, or they were like already on your team?
Yeah. I think like I really lucked out. I think I, you know, and my admin is just really fantastic. I think if they see something that, gets you excited and you have passion for, and it makes sense, and you can like, I don't want to say argue, but you can like prove that it's going to benefit you, which is overall going to benefit our school and our students and our community as a whole, they are like so on board. So it was definitely not hard, or yeah, it was not difficult to convince them to like pay for me being a part of this community. And we're lucky enough to get like $450 a year towards like professional development. And this was just something that I could put mine towards. So it was not hard at all, but they were super supportive and they ask about it a lot.
That's awesome. Sometimes all you have to do is ask.
Yeah, that's what I found. I'm like, all you have to do is ask. Cause like, what's the worst they're going to say? No. Right. Then you're like, oh, I'll figure out a new route.
Right. Well, tell me how you feel like the membership has provided support for you, or like ideas or energy, or I don't want to put words in your mouth. You tell me like what that has meant for you this past semester, because you joined in January.
Yeah, I think that it's given me a lot of like energy, but it also has just given me like, you know, I'll be sitting on the couch and I'll see like, oh, you have a notification in the collective. And it's like a question from someone else about like their drop-in center or something. And then it's like, oh, I'm not just like one person on an island dealing with these types of things. Like, there are other counselors dealing with it too. Or like a question about like an admin or even a new job. Like at one point, I think I put in there about a new job and like people were liking it, and just, I don't know, the support I felt from people that I don't even know, like I just see their names. It was like, okay, I'm not in this alone.
Why are we so tempted to think we're like in it alone? It's like you forget that someone is doing the same job as you somewhere else. Like that's such a weird concept.
Right. I don't know why. And I feel like it happens to a lot of people. It's so strange, but yeah, I think just like being a part of a community that is sharing sharing experiences, sharing things, and like, we're never going to reinvent the wheel. We're like going to lean on one another and share, you know, our experience and our feelings on something and why it worked for us or why it didn't. So I think it's just been really nice to have like a community of people that I don't want to say like-minded, because I think it's really great that we're all unique and different, but we all have like a common goal of just like supporting students.
Yes. So well said. I'm going to spring this question on you as our last question. I thought, you know what? Every time I have a guest on here, I should ask, I mean, a personality type question. I want to know, what is bringing you joy this week? What is something that is like energizing you that you're just loving?
Ooh, what is bringing me joy? Well, I work at camp in the summer, which is so fun. We're outside like all day, every day. And so honestly, I think what's bringing me joy is not only seeing like the campers' faces in like a very normal, like we've kind of gone back to our normal systems at camp, but also like I've worked there for like 11 years now. So the community of the leadership team that I work on, honestly, like leaning on them in hard times and in good times, laughing with them. Like I've gone to dinner this week a few times with a few different groups of them. And just like, I don't know, it's like, I'm like beaming with a smile right now, just thinking about like how fortunate I am to have like such a cool group of people in my life that are all educators for the most part. So I think that is what's bringing me joy at this point in my life.
Well, I am a total camp girl too. I have grown up and worked at camp all summers, like of college and everything. And I feel you on that. There is nothing like camp in the summer. I love it.
Yes, it has a pulse about it for sure.
And like a cult following. Like I'm like, I get everything that you're saying right now. And like I'm happy too. And I'm not even at camp this summer. You've got good things going in your program. And I'm just so thankful for the listeners to get to hear a little bit about you and your program. And like I said, maybe some of them can see themselves in who you are as a counselor or in your journey, or maybe it's just a different perspective. And so they got to get a peek into a completely different counselor world than their own. So I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
Wasn't Tylee so easy to listen to? I feel like we're real life friends and I'd love to work with her as a high school counselor. Her energy is contagious and I know you really heard her passion shine through for high school counseling in our conversation today. As a reminder, if you haven't already, go join the Pop-Up Back to School Facebook group and then also sign up for a live workshop next week. Both links are in the show notes or they can be found at counselorclick.com/episode34. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.